Well, so fun to be here. Saturday, I'll be on a plane to Korea and Indonesia. So super excited that it worked out for me to be able to do this with you. This is the church, and I want to encourage you women who are here, treasure these mentor moms. This is it, life on life, kind of rolling around in the messiness that is raising children. So enjoy them, take every opportunity that you have to be together with them. As Dawn said, she gave you a few little fun facts, very sweet, thank you. But we've been in the valley here for a long time, 20, maybe 25, 26 years, something like that. But came to start a church, in Murrieta, so if you buy me a cup of coffee, I'll be happy to share that story with you. It's a fantastic story of God's grace. I have one of my best friends with me today, Terry Schlager. Tawny Ray was third grade when I met her, so I have enjoyed watching her and the grace of God in her life, and watching her now as a mom. It is a huge blessing. All three of my kids are in their 20s, so Jake just turned 20, so gosh, I feel old. So now I'm just patiently waiting on grandchildren. So Stephanie is married to the very tall basketball guy. But I do spend my days at Linfield Christian High School, and as Dawn said, I have the best job ever. That's a different cup of coffee, so if you want to know about that, I'm happy to share it with you. But my identity is in Christ. And I'm a Christ follower. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. Do not underestimate the value of that. And I placed my faith in Christ when I was 9, September 2nd, 1972, so 45 years ago this month. So I was blessed to think about that. I only know that just so that you know, because I wrote it on the inside of the Bible. Otherwise, I would never have remembered. But I'm just blessed by God's grace in my life, and I'm really just energized by the truth that is God's word. He is sufficient for everything. I always tell people I'm biased. So I'm biased. I believe Jesus is sufficient. 2 Peter 1:3 reminds us, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Everything we need. Something else that you need to know about me. If you talk to me for very long, you'll find out that I am a learner. I am a reader. If you are not a woman who reads, everybody look up here. If you're not a woman who reads, become one. Line by line, paragraph by paragraph, you don't have to read volumes. You just need to read all the time. Trying to decide if I should offend you or not. Let's see. Put down your phone. Turn off your Instagram. Turn off your computer. Turn off your TV. You will be astounded at the amount of time you have. Stewardship of time is something that I'm also really passionate about. You know why? Because I think the enemy steals it from us. And so it's a real heartbeat of mine. That's a different topic. But to that point, and the reason that I'm here, I believe that mentorship to the next generation is vital. I'm in relationship with several 20 and 30 something women. Two of them are my daughters. Some are face to face, others email, texting, some by phone. But I am saddened every time that I hear this. Gay, I can't find older women. Where are they? They're not investing in me. They're not available. This is the question that I ask them. Have you asked them to? Have you sought them out? Have you offered to buy them coffee? I'm big on coffee. Have you made yourself open and available and teachable? Are you willing to listen to the truth? And do you have a resolve to obey what you hear? So the mentor moms, I think you guys will all shake your head and agree with me. We love you. But you need to approach a relationship with an older woman with a commitment to pursue Christ. Because no one has time to waste, right? All right, so I'm kind of playing hooky from school today. It's fantastic. Darcy said she'd write me a note, so I'm feeling good about that. But I've been invited to set the table for you, and what a banquet you guys have coming up this year in Proverbs. The pursuit of wisdom and how to live a life with skill to the glory of God. So what is the book of Proverbs all about? That's a huge question, and we're not going to unpack it today. But I do want to give you kind of my goal for the day. You guys have got some notes. I'm a note taker. If you've ever been anywhere near me in church, I write in colors. I use highlighters. I have a pouch. Most people, even my children, they have pouch envy. So, because they need a pen, right, during church. But I want to encourage you, jot down things that matter to you. It's not about filling in the blanks. It's just a way for you to listen and to maybe take some stuff home. But Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, right? Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And much of that was written by Solomon. If you were to read commentaries and different things about Proverbs, a lot about Hebrew poetry. But probably more interesting to us is the emphasis on understanding and attaining wisdom for all areas of life, including our relationship with God and how that impacts our relationship with one another. So Proverbs 1, 2, and 3 kind of sets the stage for us. And I'm going to throw just a bunch of things at you today. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. So the emphasis on our need to know and our reception of words of insight indicates that what the Lord has revealed in the wisdom books is not trivia. Proverbs is not like the biblical version of a fortune cookie. You know, like, hey, open up and see, pick a verse. Instead, God desires that we discern how to live life skillfully. So we can agree the overarching theme of all of Scripture, including Proverbs, is to lead us to repentance and faith in Christ. But it's also to instruct and nurture us with biblical, practical truth. So here's the big idea. This is my big idea for us today. Are there best practices? Are there skills to living life for God's glory and for our good? Is there a more skillful way, or is there a skillful way to live life? And I love, thank you, Natalie, for sharing. I mean, that just brought me back to some moments when I was raising my kids. We need skill. We need skill. And it comes from the Lord. So don't miss, I want to say the underlying theme in the book of Proverbs is the family. That is the primary place of training, right? Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, you're the primary teachers. So it bodes well that we need to get skillful in how we teach our kids. I was thinking, and Natalie mentioned this, you know, maybe you find yourself needing some motivation to do it well. And so the question is, well, what's really at stake, eh? You know, who's watching? Your children are watching. And I will tell you, the things that my kids have said to me over the years, I wish I had time to tell you stories, but they are counting on you. This is a little charge up front. They are counting on you and your husband to get this right. If you missed Pastor Chris's message, well, like ever in the last, I don't even know, several weeks, but if you missed the one on Deuteronomy 6, listen to it. It was outstanding. Take notes. Talked about discipleship last week, and yesterday's message on Ephesians 2:10 will really tie in well with this morning. So I'm going to give you guys just some quick facts. This is so fun. I was telling Kathy, the speaking that I've done recently this last year, I have been speaking to groups I don't know. So this is like so fun. They'll look out and see you guys and know you. But I want to give you some things to kind of start with in talking about wisdom, the family, and the home. The success of your marriage and the discipleship of your children is directly linked to the degree that the word is your authority. You get outside of that, and it will be a struggle. Your children Oh, this is sobering. Your children will most likely develop their norms of life from watching and experiencing life with you, even at a young age. How you rise each day, your joy for living, whether you complain, your love and respect for your husband, your desperation to spend time with Jesus. And that is okay to say that to your kids and say, I just need a few minutes with Jesus. Say that to them. They will notice everything. Everything. A woman who fears the Lord will relentlessly pursue wisdom and will raise children who can identify it. A woman who fears the Lord will relentlessly pursue wisdom and raise children who can identify it. And while there's no guarantee, Pastor Chris talked about that yesterday in Ephesians 2:10, because salvation and redemption belong to the Lord, but the responsibility to display his wisdom through us and how we live our lives, that does rest with us. So you're going to have to listen fast. Hopefully your coffee's kind of kicked in, and we're going to go through some few principles here. Proverbs 31, that woman. Every time I think about Proverbs, I'm thinking, yeah, you want to flip to the back of the book and kind of fixate on that woman. Really, that's so cultural for us. Just tell me what to do, give me the list, and I'm going to do it, right? I mean, that's just how we are. But here's the challenge with that way of thinking. The moment that we make the Christian life about the pursuit of behavior, fatigue, discontentment, pride, discouragement, those will all set in when it becomes about behavior. Now, God's word, and yes, Proverbs has a lot to say about what we do, our thoughts, our speech, and you guys are going to unpack that all throughout the year. But I'm going to tell you from, and I just would ask that you trust me, someone who's been doing this for 45 years and walking with the Lord, the more accurately you know and are consumed with who God is, the more you'll find yourself pursuing life his way. The note there I have for you, the pursuit of wisdom is far more about being in Christ, understanding his holiness and my sinfulness, than it is about checking the boxes. It's more about being in Christ. And again, not to get away from obedience. You're going to be so tired of that word after today, because I'm going to talk about it a lot. What is obedience? It's just simply living out what's true. Right? Living out what's true. But ultimately, our goal is to pursue and know and remain desperately dependent. Desperately dependent upon God, who desires to reflect his character through us. Somebody once said, and I wrote this down actually in the cover of a book, that what leaks out of my life is either wisdom or foolishness, based on what's inside. So what's leaking out? And that's a good measure for us to kind of think through as we evaluate our lives. Still kind of thinking about the Proverbs 31 woman. I love the fact, I think God knew that we needed a picture because we're women. I think he just knew that we needed a picture. And I think that glimpse, that's what we get when we think about the Proverbs 31 woman. Does that make sense? So it's kind of this culmination of truths and ideas. Natalie referenced Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you've ever been to Linfield, this is on the portico, like in letters that are about a foot big. And so I get a chance to see that and be reminded of that every day. So before we get to wisdom, let's talk a little bit about the fear of the Lord, what that means. And see really how is that connected to wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is found over 100 times in Scripture, depending on which translation that you search. What does it mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? And I don't think I had ever studied this, but when we think about the word fear, like, do you immediately have like happy thoughts? I mean, we don't, right? I mean, we tend to think, okay, fear is not usually a positive, you know, in our life. You know, you might think of tragedy or impending terror. I think the weather people right now are the sharing fear all over the, like, do you guys watch the Weather Channel? Like, seeing all those people and they're like blowing over. I'm like, what are they doing? Why? I just want to go, why are you there? Like, go inside. Anyway, but the definition that we see in Scripture, and I gave this to you, I think, on your notes, is a combination of respect and reverence. So an awareness of his presence, a willingness to listen. Here's the key. A willingness to listen and a prompt response to obey. You have to put all of that together in the definition. It's not just recognizing that God is awesome, but it's also then taking that and thinking, okay, what does that mean to me? And that's the part we're going to unpack a little bit. I'm going to say this several times today. Right thinking about God always produces obedience. Right thinking about God always produces obedience. If there is limited or no obedience to truth, there's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of the Lord. I wish we had time, but when you think about, and I think this is in, I think Linda, the gal, the book that you guys are looking at this year, I think she kind of talks about real people who encountered God. And maybe you've thought about that, like, what would that be like if I really just encountered God? And we see Isaiah, right? Isaiah says, whoa, I am undone, right? He encounters God. Or Moses, you know, who's approaching the burning bush, and then there's this fear that we read about. And then Sweet Mary, when she encounters God, and the angel says, what? Do not, what? Be afraid. And so, as I read that, I thought, isn't it interesting? It is always in the context of the proximity of God. So here's the question. Is God that real to me? Is God that real to you? If he was, so think about this. Think about just as you rise in the morning and the reality of God. How might that impact my posture? How I go about my day if I encountered him in that real way? I told you I'm a reader. One of my favorite books, one of my favorite authors is A.W. Tozer. You've probably heard this. The question of kind of the thought of God, what is our understanding of God? Who are we to fear? And he makes this statement, right? He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Why? Why? Why does he say that? Here's my statement for you. We don't and we won't fear, revere, or respect a God we don't know. We won't fear a God we don't know. We won't respect a God we don't know. I am convinced that our unstable, our inconsistent, weak view of God is the single most significant factor that impacts our obedience to him. Anybody read Knowledge of the Holy? No hands? Raise a hand. Oh my gosh, we're going to have to stay after. All right, does somebody want to read Knowledge of the Holy? Come right on up here. My favorite book. My favorite devotional. I'll talk to you about it later. Read about God. If you're kind of going, gosh, I wonder what book I should read. Read about God. Call me. I have like 40. And I'm not kidding. I just need a new, I'll give you another one. Or maybe I'll give you a title. I don't know if I'll give you the book. But here's what I want to say to you about this. If I could get just one thing right in my life, just one thing, it'd be this. To think and to know and live my life in such a way that reflects an accurate view of the Almighty King of the universe. If I could get one thing right, it would be to live my life that way. And I say that because to think rightly about God necessitates obedience. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have an obedience issue, you have a God issue. You have a fear of the Lord issue. So I want to give you the connection. Here's the connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of the knowledge that we gain from an accurate view of the Lord. Right? So wisdom is that living out. One author said it this way. The fear of the Lord can be defined as the continual awareness of our loving Heavenly Father, that He's watching and evaluating everything we say, think, and do. I was looking over this morning, and I had to ask my question, do I live every moment as if God is watching me in such a way wanting to please the Father? And you guys all, probably just as being a mom or thinking through kind of life in your home, you can think about times when your kids just want to please you. And we're so delighted, aren't we? So delighted. It doesn't change, by the way, when they get older, in the sense of being delighted by your kids when they are living a life of obedience. Correct understanding of God always results in obedience. I love that God uses contrast to help us understand. So what's the contrast that we see in Proverbs, right? Wisdom versus foolishness. So we have the wise and the foolish. Natalie, we did not get together. This is good. We talked a lot about the same stuff. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise it. Later on, Paul in Romans says this, for although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, then exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. A wrong view of God is foolishness. It's foolishness. All right, so wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. So we could even say wisdom is truth applied. Truth applied. So walking in wisdom, which is our response, results from what? Our fear of the Lord, how we view God. And practically speaking, I was thinking about this, practically speaking, like the working out of wisdom, like how we use it and how we experience it on a daily basis, in some respects, it's sort of like this spiritual sixth sense. Like not in a mystical way at all, but just, do you guys know what I mean? Like just this, like you just know. And I believe that that's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And He has revealed to us things that are practical. And then He allows that wisdom. He allows us then to apply that to circumstances in the dailiness of life. Have you ever wondered why some people are wiser? I was blessed this morning because God is God and I'm not. My mentor, I have four because that's how many it takes. I have four. My friend Connie, who lives in Orange County, she was my high school chemistry teacher, and she texted me this morning, you know, you're on my heart today, I'm praying for you. Is there something going on? And we had a couple of exchanges, and it was such a blessing to hear from her and to know that she was praying for me, outside of my parents, the single biggest influence in my life. And why are some people wiser? Here's, I'm going to give you the answer. Wise people walk with Jesus. Wise people walk with Jesus. So if you find yourself going, wow, I'm kind of compelled to talk to that person, figure out why, and hopefully it's because they walk with Jesus. I kind of process life in questions. Are you guys question askers? So like when I take notes, if, like I said, if you sat by me in church, I'm constantly writing questions to myself about things that Pastor Chris or whoever is talking about. And here's my question for us. Another question for us. Does every aspect of my life reflect right thinking about God? Or do I live a life that is compartmentalized? Janae's locked out. Someone should probably help her. She's back there like this. I want you to wrestle with that. I don't know, circle that, do something with that on your notes. Do I live a life that is compartmentalized? Are there areas in your life where you do not invite in the wisdom from the fear of the Lord. So you'll say, well, Gay, hey, I really, really want to walk in the fear of the Lord and the pursuit of wisdom. I want to live my life in the context of obedience. So here's what I would say to you. I would say, that's great. Get rid of everything in your life that doesn't bring honor and glory to God. Get rid of everything. I had a conversation last night with someone, and I was an hour and 10 minutes of trying to convince me that Facebook was important. It spent me. I was exhausted. I had to go to bed after I got done. What? And I'm not saying Facebook's evil. I'm just, there were some issues. And I'm like, delete. I don't know. I'm all about the delete button, right? So here's the thing. You can delete, but then what do you need to do? Add, fill up your heart. Fill up your heart and your mind with only things that are consistent with who Christ is. Wait, I fast in the Bible. Colossians 3, right? Put off, put on. You can put off all you want, but if you're not putting on, right? What specific area do you need to address in your heart that is directly impacted by your wrong thinking about God? I told you, I'm all about questions. This is it. What area do I need to look at? The fear of the Lord, what is it? To love what he loves and hate what he hates. Right? In order to hate sin, I have to love what? Righteousness. If I'm going to say I love righteousness, I must hate sin. Part of my conversation last night on the phone was someone who was trying to manage their sin. Fool. That's what I said. You're a fool. You can't, sin is not going to be managed. The enemy will try to make you think it can be. Do you tolerate sin in your life? Whether it's your thought life or whatever. Do I live a life that truly reflects the fear of the Lord? And here's the thing, and this is kind of a hard thing to think about in terms of life. Being a believer, and hopefully no one misled you when you got saved, being a believer, one who is redeemed, does not automatically mean that you're going to live a life in the context of wisdom. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? If it just was like, woo, got it. I wrote down autopilot sanctification. Wouldn't that just be great if you just go, boop, I'm on autopilot, I'm getting sanctified. Right? Now here's the thing, God does promise us that we don't have to fret about it. Right? Philippians 1:6, we know what God has started, he's going to bring to completion. But we're responsible, aren't we? Philippians 2:12, right? Work out our salvation. There's that lovely tension that happens. The attitude of the present day poorly taught believer, the person I was talking to last night, the exact words almost, and which is funny, I had already written this, like I was done, but this was a conversation. I want to live a life of wisdom. This person's a believer. And then I want to make daily choices in how I spend my time, what I think about, what I watch, how I speak, who I spend time with, according to what is right in my eyes. Following the desires of my heart. Proverbs has a name for that person. Foolish. Foolish. Can we trust our hearts? Anybody have a heart that can be trusted? No. Right? Jeremiah 17 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? That is a definition of a fool. I got it. I can understand. I can manage my heart. There's no shortcut. There's no detour to a life of fearing the Lord and living wisely. None. It's not a 12-step program. It's not a self-help exercise. Self-help is the funniest word to me. Like, when you go into a bookstore, what's the largest section? Self-help books. If you could help yourself, you would. Like, I don't know, I just think it's just so ironic. Living wisely, fearing the Lord, is a life that's lived in desperation every day for God to overtake us. For God to consume us, for God to pour out of us. We should ooze the joy of Christ no matter how hard the day is. and submit to his supremacy. John 14:15, 15:14, depending on which chapter you want to look in, right? It says, if you love me, you'll what? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Necessitates obedience, a life of wisdom and fearing the Lord. So over the next few months, you guys are going to be looking at specific areas. So I'm not going to talk about those specifically. You're going to be looking at speech, relationships, self-control, emotions, desires, all of that stuff. So this is more kind of a look, kind of a 30,000 foot look, you know. And I'm going to go through just a couple of things that came to me kind of out of the resource that we're using. If you get a chance and you're a reader, because you're going to become one, get that book. That book on Proverbs is really good. So you're going to have to listen pretty fast, but we have Chris Mueller as our pastor, so we can do that. Wisdom is clear and available. Wisdom is not a mystery. Christ came incarnate. Christ lives, the Spirit lives inside of us. I actually had a student one time who said to me, who was confused about this whole thing about pursuing Christ, and was basically accusing God, like, of being mean. Like, well, we just can't possibly do that. We can't live that way. God hasn't created the game of life where then he's like, well, hope you get it. Hope you get it right. He has given us ways to understand wisdom and tangible truth. And so I want you to think about the fact that wisdom speaks. And a couple of verses in Proverbs 1:23, surely I pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. This is wisdom speaking. Does not wisdom cry out? She cries out by the gates. And then Proverbs 8, wisdom speaks all the words of my mouth. So wisdom is loud. Unfortunately, the world often is louder, isn't it? That's the tough part. So if you want to know what wisdom is saying, get into the book. Get into the book, not a book, the book. But saturate your mind with truth. For those, I think mostly everyone here is connected with a version of FBC, a location of FBC. How fun is that, to be in a couple different places? I love that. Saturate your mind with the truth that you hear. Listen to podcasts, memorize scripture. Pastor Chris said something about Deuteronomy 6. That I've just been mulling on when he talked about living a life where God's word is just continually on my heart. That's not a new concept, but chew on that for a little bit. Is God's word just continually pressed on my heart? I made a little note to myself to say to you, any hint of, like, when people say memorize scripture, does anybody start to twitch? Like, right? And so you're just like, I can't do that, you know? I'm sorry, but little kids memorizing scripture could just be the cutest thing. That's going to be on Facebook, right? Because I'll need to be watching that, like, over and over. Any hint of I can't do that is not from the Lord. If you want to know, I wonder what the enemy sounds like. That's what the enemy sounds like. You can't do that. Oh, you're just not good at that. That's not from the Lord. Think about if the enemy could do one thing in your life, if the enemy could keep you from putting scripture in your heart. Woohoo! Victory. Right? Victory. And again, we're not talking about the issue versus salvation or not. We're talking about the issue of living a life that fears the Lord, that walks in wisdom and raises up the next generation. Alright, you want to think wise thoughts? Read wise words. Right? Listen to truth. Think deeply on the character of God. It doesn't happen apart from that. And if you want to live wisely in your homes, raise up your children, surround yourself with women who are doing that. Surround yourself with people who are on that same path. Now, here's what I mean when I say path. Even as I think about all the fun stuff with, you know, Tawny talking about, yeah, we're going to work out together, and we're going to, and I know Tawny, and I know that there's seldom more than about 4 sentences before something related to scripture comes out. Those are the people to have in your life. Right? So if you want to live wisely, find wise people to do it with. And here's the thing, those people also need to be able to say hard things to you. Okay? Hard things about your words, your attitudes, your motivations, your desires. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, one of my favorite little passages in scripture. This is critical. This is your responsibility to each other. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We talked about good works yesterday. Exhorting one another. What does exhorting mean? Here's my definition for you. Exhortation is encouragement with a purpose. And sometimes we encourage people when we say hard things. Like everyone's going, not really. Right? We always think of encouragement as being something positive. Sometimes encouragement is encouragement to, hey, knock it off. Knock off thinking like that, whatever it is. Another thing here, wisdom is marked by the truth of God's sovereignty and goodness. Ah, gosh, that message was good yesterday. Pastor Chris on Ephesians 2:10. I've already texted it to like 12 people to read, to listen to. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. Back to one of the things that I love doing is I meet with and I talk with a lot of mid-20, late-20, early-30 women, many of whom are single. And they're having a hard time. They're struggling. They look at their life and they're like, I can't really pursue a guy. You know, I mean, right? I mean, they're waiting, they're praying, they're trying to walk with the Lord and become that woman. Gosh, it's just hard. But as I was listening to Pastor Chris teach yesterday, I was just thinking, God's plan A. God's plan is only plan A. He doesn't operate with a backup plan. It's not like it's, you know, you stumbled into your life like, oh, phew, gosh, I got here. Right? God's plan is plan A. Proverbs 16:1, the plans of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So if you are married, that's plan A. If you're a mom, I think which applies to all of you, that's also plan A. And as a believer, the fear of the Lord and the resulting acquisition of wisdom, that's your toolbox. So if you say, okay, plan A, here I am in Ephesians 2:10 and I'm walking in it, you need to be putting stuff in your toolbox in order to walk wisely. Some of us are planners. Who's a planner? Raise your hand. Yeah. We like to know what's happening next. We think we need to know what's happening next. And if we are being honest, we know what should be happening next, right? Here's the thing. Guess what? You're not in charge. You're not in charge. I know. It's like a moment of silence. Ultimately, really, when you think about it, we are in charge of very little in our lives. Very, very little. Recently, end of June, I was involved in what should have been a very serious car accident. 15 freeway, 70 miles an hour, no brake lights, cruising along, going to San Diego. The car in front of me stopped. So just be thinking about that when you get on the freeway. What if that car just stopped in front of you? You're probably going to hit them. That would be what I did. I wasn't hurt. We all walked away. Got off the freeway, and then the gal, Frances, we get out of the car, and she's shaking like a leaf or whatever. And so I go over, and I'm talking to her, and she kind of looked at me, and she said, "What is wrong with you?" She goes, "Why are you?" I don't remember if she said nice or I don't know. I forget the exact word she used. And I just looked at her and said, "Jesus." I said, I can stand here and be joyful with you because we just drove our cars off the freeway and we're not going to the hospital. Why? Because God deemed it so. God deemed it so. God protects you in so many ways you have no idea, right? God deemed it so to give us another day. So thankful. God is so gracious. Number three there, wisdom is evidenced by obedience. It must have a priority in my life. The beginning of wisdom is this, Proverbs 4:7. Get wisdom. I love that. Just get it. Get wisdom, and whatever you get understanding. I love that those two go together. God makes it very clear that committing ourselves to pursue wisdom is in itself wise. You ever thought about this? First things first. Only one thing can be first in our life. What's first in your life? There's another question for you. What's first in your life? We are constantly bombarded with that tyranny of the urgent. Is anybody old enough to remember that little booklet? Okay, good. Thanks, Jen. We're constantly bombarded with what's urgent. We have to discern between what's urgent versus what's important, right? Is it my children? Is it my husband? Is it my reputation? Mary figured it out, didn't she, in Luke 10? Nestled in that little nugget in the gospel. She sat at Jesus' feet and he said, one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen. So here's the challenge, you guys, even as we kind of work through the application here. The trajectory of our life, of your life, must be marked by moment submission to the supremacy of Christ. And here's a question to ask yourself. I started this about 15 years ago. And you're going to all curse me when I tell you, because then you're going to never be able to forget it. Every time you're bugged, does anyone get bugged? Every time you're bugged, here's what I want you to say. Why does that bug me? Just give it a try. It's going to haunt you. Because here's why it bugs you. Typically, you are inconvenienced, mostly because you're selfish and prideful, right? But generally speaking. So if you go back to God's sovereignty, I was on my way, when I got in that car accident, I was on my way to a retirement party for one of my dearest friends who is the matriarch of international education. She's been in it for about 30 years down at Christian High in San Diego. Her flowers go flying, her car goes flying. Clearly, I did not go to El Cajon that day. And I was disappointed. But you know what? God is sovereign. Right? God is sovereign. And maybe that whole idea of submitting to the supremacy of Christ, maybe it seems overwhelming in the stage that you're in with your littles. Do you know what? There's no better time than right now to figure out that whole thing. I just believe being in the home with your kids is the greatest opportunity for sanctification. Right? That's when we can develop habits of wisdom. So how do we do that? I'm going to leave you with just a few things here. One is guard your heart. And this is just a little sneak peek. This is what's coming for you guys. You're going to be talking about these in a lot more detail. But guard your heart, right? Proverbs 4:23. Pay attention. Don't live carelessly with the input, relationships, recreation, all of those things. If you haven't read Proverbs 1 recently, go back and read it this week. It gives us a big, fat warning. If you're wondering, if you think that the sins of this world are new, nothing's new under the sun. Every single day, the enemy opposes you. Every single day. Every single day there is someone who hates you and wants to destroy you. Never thought of that? Every single day someone wants to destroy you. Who is that? The enemy. That should motivate us to pray for our kids, to pray for our husbands. Every single day. I hope that doesn't surprise you. I hope you're not like, what? Because if it does, then the enemy's got a little bit of a foothold in your thinking. The world and those who are unredeemed are always wooing us, right? always wooing us. It's subtle, it's sneaky, and we're desensitized to it for the most part. So when you ask yourself, who do I spend time with? Who do I listen to? Who has your ear? Whose advice do you seek? Okay, pause. I just need to share something with you. I am so passionate about this, and so this is free. When I say that you need to guard your hearts, statistically, more than half of you are going to struggle in your marriage. More than half. Some of you will divorce. Statistically speaking, right? We know that. You've heard that statistic before. Or you may live just in an unhealthy, toxic marriage. Don't dabble. Don't dabble, not publicly or in secret. Plus, God sees everything, right? Don't sow seeds of discontentment in your heart. Don't be careless. This is kind of my, I don't know, I've been saying this a lot recently. Much of the trouble that we find ourselves in, I believe, daily, it's because we lack intention. We lack intention and we're careless with what we do. Back to that whole stealing of our time. We lack intention of what we think about. The only way we will find wisdom and how to live life is to think rightly about God. All right, that was free. Anyway, guard your heart, cultivating the fear of the Lord. Here's another one. Cultivating the fear of the Lord and applying wisdom that will produce in you habits that lead to holiness. Habits that lead to holiness. You should be able to answer this question. What are the habits in your life that lead to holiness? It's a choice every day. Sanctification is not accidental. You're not going to wake up one day and be sanctified. Woo, it worked. Right? Because we are habitual sinners living in a fallen world, and our bent is to satisfy our flesh. Know thyself. I stole this from a friend of mine at work. Know thyself. Know when you need to flee. A conversation, a situation, whatever it is. Flee from whatever distracts you. Life is not a Hallmark movie, right? It's really more like a 5 a.m. wake up call to work out. That's life. But we live in such comfort, you guys, such comfort. A woman who fears the Lord and gains wisdom lives a life that's marked by truth. All right, the last couple things. Actively pursue humility in your thoughts, your speech, and your actions. Here's the newsflash. Humility is not something that comes naturally. And even people that you think are like super nice and humble, they're really not. I'm reading this book right now. It's called Embracing Obscurity. Guess who the author is? Anonymous. Is that the best? His family doesn't even know he wrote the book. Embracing Obscurity. And here's I love this. He says the subtitle is Becoming Nothing in Light of God's Everything. Becoming nothing in light of God's everything. So then the question is, what is it that defines us? Where does our identity lie? And he brings up this, he makes a statement. He says, what is the one thing that you're tempted to bring up when you introduce yourself? And he says this, what's your subtitle? What's your subtitle? Gabe Bennett, Vice Principal. Gabe Bennett, International Director. Gabe Bennett, Speaker. No. I actually prefer Gabe Bennett, Jake's mom. Because he left for college yesterday. Isn't that sobering? We are who we are because we're in Christ, not because of our job, our title, the number of kids you have. That is not what defines you. Or your connections. Proverbs 3:5-7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn from evil. And the last thing I have for you though, there is anticipate the discipline of the Lord. I tell my children, anticipate discipline. Anticipate. Why? What does discipline say to us? God loves us. God loves us. Proverbs 3:11, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Job 2, shall we indeed accept good from God but not accept adversity? Proverbs 16:5, this was in my quiet time this morning. Everyone who is arrogant in his heart is an abomination to the Lord, and be assured he will not go unpunished. Right? The Bible tells us over and over. Read this little quote from the book that you guys are using. I think it's on page 38. This is kind of cool. The author says, we tend to think of God's discipline as being the same as how we discipline our kids. They misbehave and we punish each of them for a particular behavior that is destructive. God's discipline of us, however, is often not linked to some specific wrongdoing. When things go wrong in our lives, we're tempted to try to hunt up what might have gone wrong to cause the difficulty. It is true that sometimes a particular trouble is God's way of pointing out a specific sin that we've been ignoring or refusing to repent of. But if no connection is made evident, we don't have to rack our brains to dig up something. If there's a connection, God will make it clear. If there's not a connection, if it's not evident, we can simply trust God in the midst of our difficulties and focus on the truth. God loves us. There's a passage in Hebrews 12, and I love, this is my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures to use when talking about discipline. I'm just going to read you verse 11. This is kind of the cool part of it. Right before in verse 10, he talks about disciplining us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Verse 11, but no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So here's the connection. Discipline responded to with wisdom yields righteousness. That's it. That's the connection that God wants us to make. And how do we know if I'm a foolish woman? And I'm going to just throw some stuff up here on the screen. We don't have time to unpack this. But a foolish woman, these are the things that are listed in scripture for us. She doesn't fear the Lord. She's easily enticed by the world. She trusts in riches. She's proud and hates knowledge, complacent and lazy and sinfully independent. Interesting, isn't it? Because our world celebrates what? Independence. A lie. All right, the last couple things I'm going to have you just chew on, and this is just for you to kind of think through, maybe as you guys work through some of the questions this morning. Fearing God is reverencing him in your heart, the seat of your emotions and your decision making. There is no wisdom apart from a heart that's oriented towards a correct view of God, resulting in a posture of fearing the Lord. There's no power to live the life God intends for you to live apart from Christ. And the path to wisdom is uphill. Think about that. The path to wisdom is uphill. And to remain on it requires intentional effort and hard work. When I think about that, and I think about parenting, I think about marriage, gosh, it's fun. So fun as you work through. Someone says, oh, this is my favorite time. Kate, when was your favorite time in parenting? I'm like, the time I was in. Well, whatever time I was in was my favorite time. But you know what? I just can tell you, and especially walking in marriage 32 years, at times you feel like you're walking uphill. But there's such a sweet time in the Lord that God gives you as you continue to walk through parents and remain faithful with your spouse. So be encouraged by that. Wisdom has a name. So when you think about I'm pursuing wisdom, the name of wisdom is Christ. There is nothing else that will satisfy us or that will give us what he will. Let me pray for you guys this morning.